worship you. We give you all the glory. Holy Spirit, thank you because you are a helper, our comforter, our strengthener, our intercessor, our advocate, our standby. You are the one who helps us in all our infirmities and in all our weaknesses. And we thank you for your strength. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your love. Thank you for just the ability to be with you and be in you. Thank you for bringing us to the foot and the place and the presence of the Father. Thank you for sending us your Spirit to help us, to remind us of the things that you have taught us, you're teaching us, and that are inscribed in our heart, but opened to us by your Spirit. So, Father, we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and adoration. Thank you for your children. Open their hearts to receive. Inspire faith in them, the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Open their eyes to see the beauties of your word today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's a pleasure to be with you. Always is. Always is. Always is. So again, our journey in life, I see it is moving, isn't it? We've moved here. It is moving, but thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 16. 2 Corinthians 16. We'll keep it nice and simple. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Forgive me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Or maybe we'll read from about verse 14. From 14 to the end. So we'll keep it simple and fun. I'll do my best to make it as interactive as possible. And I promise you I will keep the time. We'll make it nice and sweet. Yeah? Nice to see you, Sapphire. Praise God. It says, the temple of the living God. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. Or maybe we'll read together from the one you have on the screen. Since you have New King James. Okay, all right. NLT too is good. It says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? We're going to the end. What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? What union can there be between God's temple? Note that. God's what? God's temple and idols. For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and I will walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Amen. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things and I will welcome you. Praise God. And I will be your father and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. Praise God. Blessed be the reading of God's word. Go with me to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. I said I'll keep it very simple today for you. Simple for me too. Psalm 15. Read with me. I will be your father. Psalm 15. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent. Such people will stand firm forever. Amen. Chapter 16, I was going to tell you to go there. Beautiful, you've moved there. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. Now, I want you to note something. I will bring it out. Yeah. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have come comes from you. Every good thing I have comes from you. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. Verse 6, the land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. Let's stop here. We can go to the end, but let's stop here. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, and from there we'll start to thesis it all together. Genesis chapter 2. Are you there? We read from verse 7. We'll keep it short, 7 and 8 in particular are the verses that we look at. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and man became a living person, a living person. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there he placed the man he made. Verse 9. The Lord God made all sorts of trees to grow from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord will help me and he will help you. But I'll just journey with you quickly. We'll do it in, okay, that's my, yeah, beautiful, excellent, counting down. See, I want you to understand something that I'm beginning to appreciate. There are two lines that run through the Bible, two lines. There's a line that runs from Genesis chapter 2. And the line, the end of that line, you find it in Revelations 20 or 19. 19 or 20. Where do we have the lake of fire? 19. Revelations 19. In fact, let's go there. The last few verses, Revelation 19. Revelations 19. The last set of verses at the end. So where it says he put the devil, he put... okay, maybe it's 20 actually. It's 20. Go to 20. It talks about... So the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, yes, and do mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, etc. You get to the end. Both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Fiery lake of burning sulfur. Go to chapter 20 again about maybe the middle, looking for the throne, where the dead. About the end, go to the end, to chapter 20. Chapter 20. I saw a great white throne and one sitting on it. The earth and the sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. Go on. And I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and the death and grave gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake again. The lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Revelations 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was gone. Go on, chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. Okay, let's stay with this one. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for our husband. Praise God. These two trees, these two lines, they run from Genesis chapter 2. One line, and this is what I want you to really take note of today. I looked at your website when Pastor said I should come and just, you know, share with fellowship with you. So again, I know you are in your theme. So I looked on your website today and I saw a month of April is pleasant boundaries from Psalm 16. You know, and so... we are prayerful. You know, as you grow in the Lord, you grow in your prayer life. It's good to have dedicated times of prayer, but as you grow in God, you grow in your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ by the person of His Spirit. So you're always in love with the Lord, enjoying Him all the time. So I spoke to Pastor when I was coming. Oh, I said, I looked at your website. Oh, he said, as the Lord leads you. I said, oh, don't worry, the Lord is always wonderful, you know, because we're always with the same heart. Amen. So what I'm sharing with you is not anything that I went to prepare or I went to wait on God. God, give me a word for Love Assembly. I prayed a simple prayer. Lord, help me, touch me. What is it you want me to speak to your children? So this was laid on my heart, and it's in keeping with your theme. So I looked at your theme. You know, when you grow in the Bible, grow in God, you find that you can move many things together. Do you know what I mean by that, those of you? So again, you don't have to spend a lot of time preparing. You just continue to grow in the Lord, and then He opens and guides and leads. So as I share with you, it's from my heart, based on looking at your website, Pleasant Boundaries. And I say, okay, what can I help you? Simple, keep it simple. It's going to be very simple. If you follow these two lines, they start from Genesis chapter 2. They start from this verse 7-8 down, where the Bible says that God planted the trees, and then He took Adam, He took man, and said, this one is the tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then the second tree is the tree of life. The tree of life. And these two trees, they run through. These lines, they run. So one line runs with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it runs all the way. And as you study and you grow in the Lord, in the scriptures, you will see that the end of that tree is the lake of fire. Yeah? Then the tree of life also runs, and runs through the whole Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And the end of that tree is the new Jerusalem. These two trees, or these two lines, as I've grown in the Word and I grow in my understanding of Christ. Christ, Jesus, specifically, in His crucifixion for us, what He came to reestablish in us following the fall, I won't go through the whole, you know, the fall, was to bring these two trees and reawaken them in us. Stay with me. Now, following Genesis chapter 3, what happened? You know the story, so I won't again expand on the story, but I'll touch on it. Was that when God said to Adam, the day you eat of this tree, what tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, you will surely die. Yeah? You know the story. The Bible says in Genesis 3, they partook of it. You understand what happened in the deception, but they ate. Yeah? In eating, they died spiritually. You and I have come to understand, this is Wednesday class, so it's Bible study, isn't it? So you are deeper. You and I have come to understand that in eating and in death, what happened specifically that day was that God lost communion with them. God stopped communicating with them. Because Genesis 3 makes us understand before God called out to Adam, you could see that He had been calling regularly. He came, Bible says, in the cool of the day. He's always walked with Adam, having a conversation. So He called, Adam, where are you? Because it's something He always did. And Adam said, I heard your voice, and I was what? Afraid. And God, again, you know, I love our father. Didn't He know? You know, He asked Him, what have you done? You know? But again, you know the story. It became clear that they ate. So that day, their communion with God stopped. And hence, the death that happened that day was the death in their spirit. In their spirit. However, their soul now took ascendancy. And because they had eaten of that tree, that fruit of knowledge of good and evil, their soul became the upper man in themselves. And their soul, which was supposed to, according to its creation, listen to this. So when God says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, it was the spirit of man He made. Yes, Genesis chapter 1, 26, 27, 28. Then the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, which you've seen, which you read, that he took that spirit, he put it in the body he formed from the earth. So the spirit, our spirit, is from God. The body is from the earth. Stay. So your spirit is God's. Ecclesiastes says all spirit will go back to God. Yeah? But your body is from the earth. So again, when we come back to Christianity, you record it so you can follow my go back and forth. When we are brought back into Christianity, we are reestablished back in this that spirit, that communication. So our spirit is not unique to you. It is God's spirit in us. So when we come back into fellowship in Christianity, we have one spirit, the same spirit, now called Christ, because we are now the body. He is the head. Your body is not unique. It is earthly. But you see, the Bible says in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 2 that when God took the spirit and he introduced it into the body, NLT says man became a living person. But some other scriptures, KJV says a living soul. Some other Bible says a living being. Here, spirit from God, God's. Body from earth. This soul is unique. Your soul is unique. It is because of my soul that my name is Adeoye Oyedeji. Yeah? Named by my earthly father. Because of your soul, you are Ayo. Because of your soul, you are your unique names. Stay with me. So God is particular about your soul. In fact, our earthly walk, the reason we are still here today is because of 1 Peter that says that God is leaving us so that we are perfecting our souls. He says so that to the end, the salvation of your soul. The same Paul teaches us and tells us in Romans that you should be transformed by the renewing of your mind, a part of your soul. So our earthly walk in Christianity is the transformation or the salvation of our soul. Very important to God. So when we ate the fruit, or our great-grandfather ate the fruit, the soul that was supposed to be subject to the spirit took ascendancy. Then the spirit that was supposed to be subject to the spirit of God got separated. Spiritual death happened. So the soul then had this journey without guidance. And it flows through the whole Bible. Stay with me. So here you read Psalm 16. But I took you to read Psalm 15 first. And one of the things you will pick in the Psalms is that David, he had this constant dance between the soul and the spirit in a prophetic and experiential way. Let me explain it. So when you read Psalm 15, now the challenge, before I talk about that, you see, when we then took flight of our soul, we became guided now by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It became our guide. Hence, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 13, that death reigned from Adam, from chapter 3, to Moses. What did Moses bring? The law. What was the purpose of the law? You see, stay with me. Already in our discourse, I've shown you spirit from God, you, body from earth, you, soul, a product of God's spirit, hitting your body, created your soul, unique to you. Your body, all our bodies are earthly, same. All our spirit from God. It's what makes us individuals, is your soul. And hence, why it is particular to God. Remember, prayer God patterned for the disciples, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on as it is in. Will is the second part of your, or the first part of your soul. You got your will, your mind, and your emotions. So God is particular about where your will follows. You see, and he wants your will to follow him. Now your will, pre-Christ and in Christ is still under your control. The difference pre-Christ is that you couldn't control it. You were controlled by the lust and the desires of your flesh. In Christ now, being rebirthed, the Holy Ghost now in your spirit, reconnected back to God, you now have a new source of life so you can follow God. You see this? Stay with me. So you then get this discourse in Romans 7, which you see through the whole Bible, and you see it in David's Psalms, where he dances between the law that Moses brought. In bringing the law, the Bible says that the word became flesh and dwelt where? Amongst us. In the contamination of eating that fruit, the poison entered into your body and your soul. And that contamination, that whole amalgamation of your body and your soul is called flesh, contaminated soul and body. Death has set in, for sure. So when Jesus comes and births you and puts his spirit in you and washes you with his blood, the other way around, washes you with his blood, puts his spirit in you, the spirit is not able to come into you because you've been washed. What he does is that he now reignites a new life in your spirit. That new life is able to control your soul, but of course with knowledge and learning. So here is what happens. In your body, can you? What's the purpose? What's the challenge? What's the end of the body? So the end of the spirit is it goes to God. The end of the soul is determines where it will go, whether lake or fire or the new Jerusalem. The end of the body is what? It is back to dust. So what do you get at rapture? A new body. So your body is condemned to life and death. No change. That's why Paul says crucified daily. You can't save your body. That's why no matter, again, stay with me, the laws are working. So here, when Moses introduces the Ten Commandments, where does he put it? In your soul. And that's why Romans tells you, he says, in the law, in my mind, I know what to do, but I just can't do it. But by the time you get to the end of Romans 7, it says, wretched man that I am. Stay with me. It says, who will save me from this body of death and sin? It says, thank God for Jesus Christ. So a new law, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Now, the law of the spirit of life. So can you see three laws working in you? There is the law of the spirit of life in your spirit. There is the Ten Commandments, the moral law of Moses. It's in your mind. You know what to do. And then you have the law of sin and death. Where is it? In your body. Do you see these three? Stay with me. So the challenge that David encounters is that in chapter 15, and that's why you need to again grow and always use New Testament. Yeah? Remember when Peter prayed, Acts chapter 2, after his great discourse and his great evangelical outreach, he arrives in verse 42 and he says that now they continued in the apostles' teaching, in prayer, in communion and fellowship. It is the apostles' teaching that we continue in. Who are the apostles? You know them. So Paul and Peter, to be more precise, if you look into the New Testament, which I've explained, the New Testament runs from Romans to Jude. Because the Old Testament is Genesis to Malachi. You know the Torah plus all the book of Psalms, etc., wisdom, etc. Then the Gospels. The Gospels are not New Testament books. They are New Testament. They are in the New Testament section of the Bible. But they are not New Testament books because they are the historical account of Jesus on earth. So the New Testament starts at the birth of the church. The church was birthed in Acts chapter 2. And when you study the entire journey of the Acts, the missionary journeys of Acts, those are the books, those are the times in their mission that generates all the epistles. Because in the book of Acts, what you see is the birth of the church and then the historical growth of the church. And then the challenges that the church encountered, human challenges, because of satanic control, is what the epistles deal with. So all the letters, Romans all the way to Jude, were written to the churches. So they form the core of the apostles' teachings. Very important. So he says apostles' teachings. So here, and why apostles' teachings? Again, I'm very particular. Because it's what David had to fight with. Because it's the apostles' teachings that brings us into the New Testament. We were birthed in it, but we don't know it yet. It's as you start to study the apostles' teachings, you start to understand sanctification, righteousness, justification, and all those things that make up the New Testament. Do you see this? So David, he didn't have that gift you and I had, but he was prophetic. You know, David was a prophet. So here in Psalm 6:15, you see, notice what he says. And this is, again, keeping it simple for you. He says, who can keep all these things? Now, I know when I used to read Psalm 15, I said, yeah, if I can keep all these things, I'll be. You can't. Because it's all centered around the law, which had a purpose. It was a custodian. It was a schoolmaster, a guide to keep us until Jesus came. Now Jesus has come. So do you notice Psalm 16? Do you notice, again, let's go, but let me show it to you. You see, in Psalm 15, you see, he refers a lot to, see, he says, who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence? Those who, no, leave it. I like that. I like it in that it gives us in good time. Put it all together. That way you grouped it together for us. He says, those who refuse to gossip, can you see what you must do? He says, those who lead blameless lives, can you lead a blameless life? I used to think that as I became growing Christianity, that it would get easier. It's not true. I have to still work as hard today than as I did in 1st of May 1999 when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. The only difference now is that my spirit is growing. And it is in ascendancy. And so I also begin to understand. Look at Psalm 16. Can you see all of Psalm 15 says, who can do this? Those, can you see that? It refers to what you and I should do. So when I read Psalm 15, I used to think, I can do it. No, you can't. But look at Psalm 16. Look at Psalm 16. Go to Psalm 16. Group it like this for us. Group it like this for us. There's a very simple bringing it together. You see, very simple. Keep me, can you see? Keep me what? Who? Aha. David had the godly people in the land. Lord, you alone are my inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. I know the Lord is always what? Let me bring it together. I've said it a lot, but I want to bring it across because I want you to see this. Our safety in New Testament is in Christ. And it has been made very simple. If I take you to Ephesians, you know the book of Ephesians and the church in Ephesus. You know what God had against them? He said, you have gone away from your first love. Our safety, your pleasant boundaries, it is not by law. It is not by, I won't do this, I won't do this, I won't do this, I will do this, I will do this. You won't get it. See, do you notice? I've noticed. Let me show it to you. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It has four anchors in it. Knowledge, good, evil, and the end is what? Death. They are like a household. So, if you say, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, evil is coming. If you keep, oh, I'm good, I'm because I'm good, the day is coming, you won't be good. And if you regulate your life by that tree, the end, no matter how good you are, evil is still your brother. Knowledge is with you. And the end is death. But so look at the other tree, the tree of life. And that's Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life. And you see that life? The word is aletheia. It's reality. I am the reality. The law, the purpose of the law was to let you know how bad you are. Let you know how hopeless you are. Let you know how helpless you are. Look, Paul said the law is holy. The challenge with the law is that it can't save you. So the fact that you know what is good doesn't mean you will consistently do what is good. The only salvation we have is Jesus. The only anchor you have is Jesus. The only thing God asks of you and of me is to love Him. It is in your loving God, as you love God, you know, it is a mystery. And He explains it to us that it's like the husband and the wife, Jesus and His church. I've learned, as I love God, He deals with me. Let's finish with Galatians 2:20. Yeah, Galatians 2:20. Let's finish with it. Yeah, Galatians 2:20. Because I am not absorbing you of responsibility. I'm just anchoring you to the truth and to the reality and to your help. Do you see this? Look at Galatians 2:20. See, if you look at it, you will see a series of people here. My old self has been crucified with. So that old self is the one I took some time to explain to you. Yeah? And its nature is still alive in your body. Its nature is still alive in your flesh. That's why Paul calls it my old man. You know, this is the letter to the Galatians. So it's a New Testament church, a New Testament book. So when Paul says my old man has been crucified, he's letting you know he has been crucified, but he is still where? He is here. I have a daily responsibility to crucify him again and again and again. But I must not be complacent to think that I have crucified that man once and for all. Then he says, it is no longer I who live. So can you see this old man and this I, they are the same. So it is no longer I who live, is referring to that old man. Then he says, but Christ lives in me. You see, so he now introduces Christ. Christ lives in me now. Stay with me. Where does Christ live? So I live. Listen. The second I. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God. You see, this I here and this Son of God, they are together. Let me open it up for you. I've explained. I know you've seen it, but let me show it to you. The I, the old man I, still resides in your earthly body. The I that Christ lives is now in your spirit. So the I in your earthly body is not the one to live. The I in Christ is the or the other way around. The I that Christ is in. Can you see Christ is in an I? It is so I live in this earthly body. To let you know, the two eyes are still there. But I live in this earthly body by trusting. That's the key. Trusting in the Son, who did what? Who loved me and gave Himself for me. And that's the way to keep your pleasant boundaries. Love the Son of God. Love Him. Now, you know, God's love is not emotional. God's love is also parallel to the same way that you have been happy and enjoying the knowledge of good and evil. You are now to learn and enjoy the knowledge of Christ. That's why Ephesians, which is a, where is it now? Is it 3:20, 4:20? Says, we have not so learned Christ. You are to learn Christ. So you love God, and that's why if you look at David, genuine man who you can look and say he loved God. Even God said it in Acts chapter 13. David, a man after my heart. What is the evidence that you can glean that David loved God? Look at his writings. You can see his knowledge of God. David knew the law. And that's why he sometimes in his writings he would defer, say, I keep the law. But in his prophetic godly experience that God is opening him up to see, and also for us to glean, he actually learns to realize that his help is only in God. Do you see these two contrasts? The same way, if you look at Psalm 1 and 2, Psalm 1 has a lot to do. You know, I used to quote it for myself. I stopped praying it for myself. I pray Psalm 2 now. More. Because Psalm 1 also tells you, if I do this, if I do that, if I trust in this, if you... But Psalm 2 says, hold, kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. You see, David, he danced like this. But now with New Testament revelation, we can look back and see his struggle. The same struggle that you and I have. But we can see now with New Testament knowledge and with the help of the Holy Spirit, who we have. The Holy Spirit used to come on David and go. But on us, he lives in us. Our only help is to love Jesus. Love him with all your soul. In particular, you have no problem with your spirit because he lives there. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. God lives in your spirit. So the problem is not in your spirit. The problem is your soul. So when you say love God with all your soul, what's that? With your will, your emotions, and your intellect. This is how... So loving God with your emotions means that your emotions are regulated by him. Now, don't try to regulate it. Love him. In loving him, that's what... He's saying, no, Galatians 2, please leave it there. That's what he said. Galatians, he does it. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. He does it. Do you see? He will do it. You need to, but you need to give your emotions to him. That's your responsibility. You need to, when I say loving God with your intellect, that means you must give your intellect to him. Not just like a present. No. Use your intellect. You know, your reasoning, your rush, your thought. Learn him. Learn his words. Know him. Know everything he wants. Know how he wants things done. Learn it in your mind. The process of the learning of those things is called the transformation of your mind. Yeah. And then your spirit, no problem. The problem is your soul. Forget. Your body is condemned, though. Don't try. But as you love God in your spirit and you are beginning to grow in that love in your soul, you know, mind over matter, your mind will always instruct your body. Pleasant boundaries. You see this? For me, very simple. Just love Jesus. Amen? Let's rise. Love Jesus. Love him with everything you've got. Yeah? Love him. Grow in your love daily. The love for today is not as good as the love for tomorrow. See what he said to the church in Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2. He says, you've forgotten your first love. For those of you who are married here, who have courted before, you know that heart. You know that when the girl do your that's the first love. You know that thing that is tugging your heart. The button, yeah. That's the love he's talking about. He said, come back. You must love God like this with a flutter in your heart. When you lose that flutter, go back and get it. Yeah, go back and get it. That's your safety. There is nothing else you can do apart from loving God. When you love God, he does the rest. Amen? Praise God. The people who lead us in worship, please, let's lead us in worship. Let's bless the Lord and give him all the glory.